Hello, everyone. This is Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Empowering Midwifery Education. I have Deidre DeGrado. She's a certified professional midwife in Wichita, Kansas. We run midwifery business consultation as partners together, but we were midwives. We were just talking before the recording of like crazy midwife stories, birth stories, and things that people sometimes have to encounter that only the midwifery profession has to encounter, and tough situations. And how do you handle this? And so we were like, you know what, let's make a different recording, totally different than our usual serious, like the crazy adventures of midwives and things we were just talking about. I was like, yep. How do you handle this? What do you do? So I think you should go back to the one you were telling where you just had the red flags coming up of this family.
Yeah, I've got two actually great stories. If we have time for two, I'll tell two, but I'll start with that one I was just telling you about. So years ago, I was a brand new midwife. I don't think I had been practicing maybe about a couple of years. I was practicing out of the home of my mentor midwife, and she was out of town. And typically, I would do, you know, the meetups or the meet and greets with potential clients during the day. But this gal had said, like, okay, we have to do it more towards the end of the day. And, you know, I think I was communicating with her via email. And so we set up a time and it ended up being towards the end of the day. I think it was like maybe 6 o'clock. It was in the winter time. And so, of course, by 6 o'clock in Wichita, Kansas, it's dark out. And, so I was expecting them to come, and the doorbell rang, and I went there, and it was just a man. And I was like, inside, like my heart just kind of sank. Like I was like, ooh, she didn't say she was coming separate than him. Am I okay? And I noticed that this guy was looking kind of around the door, like kind of like just looking around.
Is there someone any else here besides you? Like weird stuff.
Almost like he was scoping it out. And I immediately just, like, the hair was going up on the back of my neck. I was feeling scared, honestly. And I said to the guy, I said, oh, hey, you know, what are you here? And he's like, oh, my wife and I are supposed to be, are you Deidre? You know, we're supposed to be meeting with you about midwifery. And he said, she's not here yet. And then the first thing he said to me, it was like, is this your house? And, you know, like my midwife mentor was older than me. She lived alone. You know, I totally did not want to put her in an unsafe situation. So I was like, no, it's not my house. It's somebody else's. And I was trying to be really vague. And so I ended up letting him in. And honestly, like I think we should listen to our intuition more. I honestly don't know what I should have done, but I don't think letting him in was probably a good solution. But I said, okay, you know, you can go ahead and go on downstairs. I said, I'm going to finish something up here, and then I'll be right down, and I'll just wait for her to come to the door, you know. So he did come in, and he went downstairs, and I immediately went back to the back bathroom, and I closed the door and locked the door, and I called my husband, and I said, hey, listen, this couple that I was meeting tonight, you know, he came by himself. She's not here yet. I'm feeling super anxious. I got a terrible vibe. And he's like, okay, like, if she's not there in the next 10 minutes and I don't hear from you in 10 minutes, I'm coming over there. And I said, okay, perfect. So he gave me a little window. I waited, you know, she did end up showing up in like 10 minutes. And so that worked out fine. And I went on to take care of him. In fact, the guy was super generous. Like after I did their first birth, he handed me an envelope with like a tip of like a couple of $100. And I was like, man, I think I misjudged this guy. Like, why is he, like, I never got a tip before or since, you know? And so I was like, I think I misjudged this guy. Went on, they had another baby with me again. Like they were super generous. And I was feeling like, man, I don't know what was my deal.
That maybe first impression came from you.
Yeah, I was like questioning myself. And I think he said that he had worked for the police academy or something like in law enforcement. Long story short, it's a couple of years, maybe 3 years after they had had their last. And I had just gotten home from a trip to Colorado, and I always read the Sunday paper. And so I opened up the Sunday paper, and I saw their last name right there. And I was like, huh. And I go on to read the article, and basically she had been found dead, and the house had been lit on fire. And so he ended up getting convicted for murdering her. And so it was like, okay, man, that was the saddest story. But, you know, it just goes back to like our intuition is usually right. Maybe something's not right at the moment that there's actually going to be a problem. But I'm telling you what, midwives, we are so intuitive.
We are so intuitive. And I think we don't realize with our profession, we're super vulnerable. We go into people's homes, they're coming to ours. Like when we had our birth center private practice, it was a little rougher part of the community town. And if you were solo, you always locked the door. You didn't ever know. You wanted your guard up. But like a lot of times I would have the dads come in with the wives and I would have a higher hair flagging up of abuse or these things. You maybe didn't have the typical algorithm screening questions that flag, but I would always know whenever I had that worry, I would extra question any opportunity I got a little break, I would ask extra questions. Or when they were laboring and they didn't have clothes on, I'm looking really closely at their body for skin. Like there's certain things that I may not say it out loud because I don't have definitive evidence or objective stuff, but your intuition is saying, I have a gut feeling she's either emotionally abused or there's some danger safety issues she may not recognize, or I may be in danger. Like you go into a house at 2 a.m. and you knock, they call you there for a labor and you expect to see the woman and then hear the woman and it's just the guy. You're just like, okay, it's dark. It's 2 a.m. Is this really where I should be right now? Because we don't realize because we do it so often, we put ourselves in very risky, vulnerable positions purely because most midwives are females and who's going to answer the door first? Is it really like you trust so much that sometimes we have to be careful with that. But yeah, I think the words of wisdom with that crazy story is just midwives trusting your instincts, being more cautious. I mean, the worst that could happen is you have him wait in his car till his wife gets here, whoop-de-da, versus he comes in and now you're regretting it. I think of like Patch Adams often where, you know, you have your guard down and everybody is so good. And maybe they had some mental thing and some imbalance present that they can't control. Like you can't just assume, I mean, our lives are too precious. But yeah, so to shifting gears of like more light, I'll tell a story than you can tell one. But I think just the craziness of whether we do a home birth or they're coming to our birth center, they're driving to us. I mean, crazy stories on the road, crazy stories in the parking lot. Like the things our birth center, I could remember like in the afternoon, like we had mostly night births, wasn't a big deal. Like the woman screaming for a hot second while they come in. But like, I remember some Sunday afternoons where she's having her baby in the car and all the kids are playing in the neighborhood, like, mommy, what's going on? Or we were right across from a police academy. So the big joke, like sometimes they'd walk on break and maybe they would be not realizing, like we wanted to educate the community. This is what's here. This is what it is. They don't need help. This isn't calling 911 situation. Cause we would get that. We would get calls like, is there some concerns? They hear a lot of screaming from that building. Should we stop over? And then after they got educated about what was happening there.
Yeah. They're like, oh. Yeah, it's kind of like that video that went viral, you know, where the police, did you see that?
We were just talking about that yesterday on the road, like the surveillance camera caught the cop watching the midwife deliver the baby in the parking lot. He's like, I don't know what I should do. Should I help you? Should I just keep walking? Like what's going on?
Yes. Yeah. We just had a birth where the gal had her baby in the car and the dad had pulled over. They were on the side of the road. And I think they put a call into like 911 and then a sheriff was on his way home. And so he turned around and it was so funny because the gal that delivered, she said that the sheriff came up and said to her and her husband, I have 10 kids. Okay. Like I can help, you know? And the dad was like, well, the baby's already out and we're just going to go to the birth center, you know, and we're okay. But he gave him an escort, which was cool. And then the other midwife, she met him out in the driveway and she said that the sheriff said, well, okay, do you need anything? Like, you know, you could just tell, like, he just so wanted to help, you know, he's like, oh, I'm here. I've had 10 kids and I can help, you know?
Yeah. And most of the time they're so fearful, deer in the headlights. They're so grateful. A midwife was there. Like if they get called 911, the first comments are like, was this a planned home birth, unplanned home birth? Who's with you right now? Cause it's a completely different thing they walk into. But even just the side of sometimes people push the envelope of picking a home birth midwife or picking a birth center in the distance, traveling and having a good conversation with them about safety. And I've had so many women that are so traumatized by the healthcare system that they push it 2-3 hours. They went fast before and you're stressing to them, you're probably going to have a car birth. This is and like they would have a plan. It's all about informed consent and like they'd have safety and supplies and a plan in place. But I can think of a half a dozen ladies delivered in the car on the way there. I'm trying to talk, encouraging them based on the medical standards to go to the hospital, but she's an adult. She does what she wants. I'd have so many of them hang up and be like, women have babies in the car all the time, and they would show up, and their poor dads are just driving, like, she just had a baby next to me, and they just want the recovery, like, the power, the advocating, and wanting just a little taste of normal midwifery, yes. it's amazing to me, what yes. you see, and I think our big thing is, we're not going to tell them you can and can't do this. I'm not going to meet you at the person. I'm not going to do this. But this is within the scope. Like, yes, I think it'll go just fine. But my recommendations are I can call this local ER because you still got an hour to drive and you're actively pushing right now. Like, you're probably going to have a baby in the car.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we had a gal one time who, yeah, she was supposed to meet us at the birth center. And I was there and I was waiting for her. And the next thing I know, I get a call from my partner who's in clinic that day. And she goes, your client's here and she's having the baby. And I was like, what? Okay.
That's the birth center today.
Yeah, I was on the way. They just decided, okay, we'll just pull into the clinic, you know? So they pulled into the clinic and my partner said that the dad came in and he said, is Deidre here? And my partner's like, no, I think she's at a birth. And he's like, well, my wife, we're supposed to be going there, but I think she's having the baby. And my partner looked out, she was leaning over the back of the truck pushing. And my partner's like, let's get you in here. Took her back to the bathroom. And we had our first baby in the clinic office, you know.
That's so cool.
Big 10 pounder, I should say.
well, I'll let you and I tell our highlight story. So my highlight story was I moved up north and I moved around all the Amish. And within a couple of weeks, the word spread that a midwife moved into town. The closest birth houses, none of them do home births pretty much in our community. They drive 45 minutes one direction or 30 minutes, which isn't terrible. But if you have to wait for a driver and you got to go to a phone and you've got a lot of steps in the process and you've had 10, 11 babies, it was a Tuesday night. I lived in my house for 3 months. It was Tuesday at 7. I was in the bathtub. My husband flings the door open and it's like, there's a lady having a baby in our driveway right now. I'm like, what?
What in the world?
I was like, oh, I quick put some clothes on. And I had my home birth supplies and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. So then I go out there and I like, okay, where do you live? And she lived just a quarter mile down the road. So I assessed her basics. I'm like, okay, the baby's actively falling out right now. So I've quickly followed her driver to her home and she wasn't planning on a home birth. She was trying to drive to the birth center and it's 7 at night. So her kids are still up and they're super conservative. And so we're trying to make it discreet. And we literally took her in her bedroom, had a baby. And then within 2 minutes of just getting in her, and all that's going through my head, that quarter mile is driving is like, I don't know if this is early. I don't know if it's late. I don't know her name. I don't know her blood type. Like, am I covered by humanitarian? Like, I'm just thinking in my head over and over again, like, what do I do in this situation? So they all go
looking on the top of your mind. Like, yes. What am I going to do? Like, am I going to get in trouble if something goes wrong?
I hope this baby falls out. I don't know if it's breech. I don't know what's going on. So we get to her house in 2 minutes. She has the baby and the baby's crying. It was a little smaller, but it was fine. And as soon as baby came out, I handed her baby. I said, hi, I'm Leslie. It's nice to meet you. Your neighbor down the street. And then they introduced themselves to me. Like, we had not expressed names, nothing. It was, so she owns the local greenhouse. And so every time I come there, like once or twice a week, we always laugh about that's how we got our first impression together. I've lived here now 6 years, but it was, so I had to set very detailed boundaries with the bishop's wife of like, you can hire me. You're more than welcome to, but if you choose this other midwife, you can't pretend I'm your neighbor and just stop at my house. We can't do this. But yes, that was my wildest story for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so funny. Wow. Yeah, that would have been definitely different.
Well, most of the time when you talked about the house thing, like you have a work-life balance the best of your ability. And if you do a home office, they know where you live. If they're a neighbor and it was just kind of one of those unique situations. They're picking a midwife that's not in your town. You just moved in the area. They hear midwife. They're worried about having a baby. They're going to go with their safety gut. But to me, I'm like, my wall of protection of my safe home zone just is gone. Yeah.
Wow. Have you ever done any births where somebody didn't know they were pregnant?
I have not. Is that your most exciting story?
Well, we've had a few of those. We've had a few of those where like maybe they came in and they were like, they thought they were just pregnant. And then we find out they're like 6 or 7 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. But Years ago, I had just got home from a birth. It was early morning, and I got a call from this gal who asked me a couple of very strange questions, mostly like, do you do birth certificates? And like, yeah. Like, and she's like, well, I need one. I was like, oh, well, if you just had your baby, the hospital will do that for you. You know, like, I'm not sure. I'm kind of confused, you know. Well, she goes on to tell me that she just had a baby at home and she didn't know she was pregnant. Okay. Interesting. I said, well, she said, so I was wondering if you can help me, if you can come over and check out the baby and just do some different things. And again, like same thing, like my radar was going off. A, I was tired. B, I was like, do I really want to get involved in this?
Yeah. Prenatal care, no prenatal care. It's a red. I mean, you got to think of, I want to help people, but I also want my license, my practice to exist after I help people.
Yes. So I was asking a lot of questions about what was going on. Well, she had the baby. It had been like, I think 2 hours. Yeah. And I said, so, you know, what happened? And she laid out the story, basically just thought she was, you know, having stomach pain, she got in the bathtub.
How many, has she had kids before? Or was her first? This was her first. Oh.
Yeah. And so she ends up having the baby. She's not young, but she lived in the home with her parents and her mom came down. Saw that she had had a baby. She said, hey, I just had a baby. And her mom.
Could you imagine the shell shock of your child living in your basement? And you hear, she thinks she's having vomiting, diarrhea. You're going to go see if she needs something. And she just birthed a child that she didn't even know was there. It wasn't even, she was trying to hide it from you.
She was in the tub. And the mom said, I see that, basically, you know. And the mom goes on, goes to Walmart, gets some things. You know, they tell me.
Nobody thought 911 should be called.
Not at any time did they think of calling 911. Wow. Not at any time.
Wow.
So they basically end up, I asked her how she did what she did about the cord, you know, cause like, I'm thinking, is it term? I was like, well, has the baby ate? Yes. The baby had eaten, it had been on the breast, you know, it was pink, all the things. So like, from what I could tell, it wasn't like anything, you know, emergency, but I was thinking, wow, this could be, you know, a bad situation and maybe she does need to go in. But okay, I have to tell you something you probably don't know about me, actually. I know we know each other well, but something you probably don't know about me is that one of the things that I did and what I actually started out in college for was criminal justice, and I was a private investigator.
You did tell me briefly the little hints because we were doing a Facebook Live and you had mentioned, oh, I learned this, and I was like, how did you figure that out? Yeah, that was where we had that discussion.
Okay, so my private investigator mind goes cuckoo, okay? I literally start thinking of, you know, and I watch too many crime shows or listen too many podcast crime shows. And my mind goes, oh my goodness, well, what if this is a situation where somebody cut the baby out of the mom? Or what if this is a baby?
And the adult, they're saying they're just trying to make it exist and there's a murder somewhere else. These crazy stories you hear.
Stolen, you know, or something. So I thought, oh my goodness, you know, typical midwife mentality, like come to the rescue, you know. I'm like, what if I'm the only link between this baby and its real mom, you know, literally. That's what I was thinking. And so I agreed to meet her and she wanted me to come to her home, but I said no to that. And I said, I'll meet you at my clinic in a couple of hours. And so I called one of the other midwives on the team and I just said, here's the situation. And of course she was brand new to the team. And I know she was thinking in her mind, what have I got myself into with this group?
You know? Yeah. What else other things is Deidre going to call for help with next week?
With some cuckoo thing. Like, what is this thing? What they do, you know? And so we met up with her and, you know, my partner examined her and had to sew her up. And, you know, I just
checked out the baby. So you have proof that the baby came out of her.
Yeah. Yes. That was the first thing I wanted to know. But, you know, we had to stat all her labs. We didn't know if she was Rh negative. You know, we knew, you know, if she had, you know, Hep B. I mean, we didn't know. So we had to figure out, well, what do we need to do next for mom and baby, you know?
Yeah.
But gestational age had checked out and was fine. And so everything was great. But yeah, it was just really.
I think it's just the storyline. As midwives, you never know what kind of calls you're going to get or what kind of life stories you're going to have to tell. Like my family would love for years, like we're sitting around the campfire. Okay, Leslie, tell us some fun, crazy birth stories because your occupation has some excitement to it.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we definitely have a lot of stories to tell. And women love to hear birth stories, you know, it's inspiring. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know, it's just humanity, you know.
Yeah.
happens. And it's so fun to hear those kinds of things. I think it's more interesting than crime podcasts for sure.
Oh, totally. And it made me think not so much a birth story, but sometimes as midwives, we depending on your sense of humor. So my family comes where it's that borderline country living, eating critters, coon, raccoon. So we'd have every fall, we would have a surprise. You bring a me and everybody tries it and you'd be open-minded. So the big joke always with me was, well, I'm going to bring you a placenta stew. I'm going to bring you something that's new, you've never had before. So every year I would always make some sort of beef stew, something that was similar, and nobody would ever eat my dish. It was the big joke. Even though I never really put placenta in it, it was the big joke that I've got access to this meat you've never had before.
We're going to have placenta and we're going to have cords.
Exactly. So I think it's just, as midwives, we have such an amazing opportunity to serve people, but we've got the coolest stories. We've got there should be just a podcast of midwives' adventures and crazy stories and people would listen to it.
Yes. Whenever I have time, I always do birth stories on our Facebook and Instagram page because people love it. They're always like, please tell us a story,
Well, that's how we pass on wisdom, not just these. I think it's just showing there's so many variations of normal. Like the average healthcare provider and obstetrician nowadays would just be like, you did what? And the midwives are like, yeah, that's what she wanted. Like she wants to deliver on her head. She wants to deliver on her head. Like, I think it's that mindset of reinforcing to the midwives. Is it my biases coming out? Is it a safety issue? Like, she has her own personal beliefs and desires and wishes, and we need to respect it to the most innate level. So sometimes we get some pretty crazy stories out of that because they really get to get their guard down. They really are in their own homes and really get to see a side that very few people get to see. So,
And I think it's great for us. Like, we get challenged, there's been times when, people have said, well, this is like what I'm looking for and this is what I'm wanting. And in my mind, I have to say to myself, like, okay, can I set with that? And if I can't, like, who will? Like, how?
Can What are the boundaries? Like, is this a safety issue? Is it a scope? Is it my personality? Is it my personal beliefs? Like, I know, like, just certain hot topics with vaccinations and circumcision and unassisted. Like, I've had people come to me are like, can you do my prenatal care so I can do it unassisted? And my comfort level is I openly know that I don't want to be part of that decision. You can make that decision, but we always as midwives have to make our decisions personally of what boundaries and what type of midwives we want to be. Well, thanks for chatting. That was a lot of fun. I can't wait to put this one up for everybody, but maybe we'll have to have a part 2-3 because I have a feeling we'll get lots of fun comments from it. So tell us some more crazy stories.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, have a good day, Deidre.
You too.